Leaders don't wait for chances. They take them, seizing opportunities that come their way, having the courage necessary to make the game-winning play when it's all on the line. It's what sets us apart from the rest. Your home for Fighting Illini basketball is right here on the Fighting Illini Sports Network.
Wednesday, the Fighting Illini take on the Purdue Boilermakers. The broadcast starts at 6:30 on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street.
See how Willie says it. He says, just direct your feet.
And that happy tune is your step.
To the sunny side of the street.
Life can be so sweet.
Come on, the sunny side.
Side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rail. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
What is your name, sir?
I am Bill Buttlicker.
Really, that's your real name?
How dare you? My family built this country, by the way.
Crossed over. If I ever have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller.
What is that from? Should I know that?
No, that's from a TV show called The Office.
Watched a little of it, not a lot of it. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the February 26th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. We'll start this show with a special guest. And before I bring him on here, I'm going to address two different audiences. Those of you who've listened for years and years and years, you'll know who he is. And for those of you who don't, you should. And even though you may be new to the show of the last year or a couple of years, I think you're going to find this very interesting and very entertaining. This guy is the single funniest human being, funniest person I've ever known. Let me start there. He has made me madder than just about anybody has ever made me. I couldn't stand him at times. I loved him at times. Still love him. I've said many, many times that without characters, without people who are true characters, the world would be just a very boring place. He is one of those characters. Please welcome, all the way from the exciting city of Cleveland, Ohio, ooh, Terry Daly.
Terry!
Or wait, to me, Wrangler. Wait. How are you?
Wait a second.
You heard what I said. Oh. Can we start off with the dark stuff? Can we get the what Dan? You've already interrupted me. What?
Nothing. I think he was flushing the toilet.
Can we start with the heavy stuff and get it out of the way? You have cancer. Yeah. I don't think there's much. By the way, that Terry and I can talk about. I don't think there's much that you'll mind talking about, because one of the things, of the few things we have in common, is we've always laughed at stuff that most people would be appalled at, that people would laugh at.
Especially things like me having cancer and you laughing at it.
Yeah, I think that's hilarious. But you know why I can do it? I have cancer too. I have prostate cancer, so I'm in the cancer club.
I know you do. I can play the cancer card.
Now you on your, I don't do Facebook, but a listener sent me like a cut and paste thing of your posting where you told everybody that your doctor said, hey, you got stage four. Do you want to tell people what kind of cancer it is?
Yeah, okay. It's colon cancer.
Well, cancer is the number one killer of men in this country.
Oh, thanks.
No, it is. I think a lot of people think with men it's heart attacks, or with women it's breast cancer. No, the number one killer of women is heart disease, and with men it's colon cancer. So let me ask you a question. Did you ever have a colonoscopy? Did you have a colonoscopy?
Oh, yeah, many times. I did, nobody ever said anything. No doctors said I had any reason to worry about anything. And suddenly this popped up.
So let me ask you a question. Listen, I'm serious about this. When was the last colonoscopy where they said, everything looks great, and what was the timeline between then and when you found out you had this?
Probably 2 years before I found out. What happened was I've been going to doctors pretty regularly because, believe it or not, I have a liver that's not very healthy.
Well, there's a shocker.
Yeah. So I have that. So I'm constantly getting checkups and stuff. And I was at home and I started having a hard time going number two. Out of nowhere, I was having a hard time going, and then my stomach started hurting real bad, and I had no idea what was wrong with it. You know, I tried some suppositories and stuff, and nothing really happened, so my wife, Bugface, took me to the hospital, and I went in, and the guy, emergency room surgeon, said, hey, you got cancer, buddy, in your colon. And it surprised the heck out of me.
Here's why I'm glad you shared this story, because, and it's not to say that people shouldn't get a colonoscopy, but when you go and everything looks good, they go, well, see you in 10 years. And here's an example of a case where, you know, most people would go, well, I'm good for at least 10 years. No. 2 years. Before I forget, I want to introduce you to a couple of people who are on the show now. One is our control board operator. He is Limey Phillips. Limey, say hello to the funniest guy you'll ever talk to, Terry Daly.
Hello, Mr. Daly. How are you, sir?
Now, as you can hear...
Hi, you Limey fag.
That's what
Archie Bunker used to call them all.
As you can tell, Limey has a British accent because he lived in Great Britain for 19 years. Now, I want you to say hello to another guy who's also a very interesting character, and we won't go into why right now. His name is Tim Woodburn. Tim, say hello to Terry Daly.
Hello, Terry. We're actually Facebook friends. Terry reached out to me a while back, and of all my Facebook friends, Terry is the only one in the history of my association with Facebook to post photos of himself wearing nothing but briefs. Not boxer briefs, briefs on Facebook. And that's all he's got on.
That's not the Terry I know.
Red. Beat red. Terry, it's nice to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Tim. Nice to see you.
Hi, Terry. I'm Dan.
Dan Strauss is here, but Dan's not new, and you know him. He's not new to the show, so yeah, Dan, say hi to Terry. You even know Terry for a long time.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Dan.
Here's the problem I have. One, it's hard for me to call you Terry because I want to call you Dick, because you were, for years and years and years, Dick. It started with Dick Daly, then it became Wranglin' Danglin' Dick Daly, and then that turned into the Wrangler, and then the funniest of all was just Danglin' Dick. Those were your names. and it's true. And I'm going to tell you something else. I was mad at you. Well, a lot of times, but I was when you went to the other station where we were just before here, I don't even want to acknowledge those call letters, even though I was there over 20 years. You decided to drop the Wrangler, to drop Danglin' Dick, drop all that, and go with Terry Daly. That's not very funny. It's just not a funny name. And I think that was a mistake, and I think that's why you got cancer. Changed your name.
Wow.
Can we go back in time?
Because stress creates illness, and I think he realized, and the stress of what he had done, changing his name, weakened his immune system, and I think that's my theory. That's what happened.
Steve Mazzarini used to call me the Big Dicker. If I started calling myself the Big Dicker, could I go back to work, or am I done over there?
No. If you'll agree to call it to be the Big Dicker, yes, you can come back to work. But you have to move from Cleveland to here because, you know, we're not doing it long distance. Now, let me say, first of all, if I let myself, I will eat up the entire hour doing all the talking. So I'm going to let you. I'm going to let you.
First for everything, Dan.
Since we talked a couple of days ago, I have almost no memory. I have a memory issue, and it's a long story, but it started years ago, from taking a statin, and we didn't know until the damage had been done that it took a lot of my memory away. So there's a lot that I don't remember, and it's still a problem. But I do remember. Do you remember how we met? Let's start there.
Yeah. Are you and Ned Spurt still friends?
Yes, we are.
Okay, well, Ned Spurt owned a nightclub that I worked for, and he introduced me to you through
because
that.
I wrote a jingle. He called and said, you know, it was Muddy Waters West. And he said, right. You know, he says, we're not doing the business we do downtown. He said, maybe if we had a jingle. And at the time, I was a writer. So I wrote a jingle, and he loved it. And I said, so now we just got to get somebody to sing. And he said, well, how about the house band? We have a house band. I said, who's the house band? And he said, Terry Daly and the Flying Cowchip Band. That's our band.
Yes, sir.
And I said, well, the name is funny. Okay. So we went to a Technosonic Studios on Brentwood.
Right.
And you showed up, and what were you driving then? What would you call that thing that you drove?
It's a motorhome, a mini motorhome.
Yeah, like a disgusting old, just what you'd expect a guy like you to drive, a beat-up old motorhome. And so Terry pulls up in this motorhome, and here comes like the rest of the band, and Terry's drunk. And he's really not too happy to be there, and he's not in a good mood. And I thought, who is this guy? But he walks in, and we roll the tape, and he does a masterful job of recording this jingle. And I thought, how could that guy even stand up, much less, you know, perform? And so he leaves and gets to the motorhome, and I thought, well, he's going to leave here and kill three people on the way to wherever he's going. But he didn't. So that's how it started. That's how we met. And then I get a call from Ned, and this is months later, and he says, you remember that guy, Terry Daly? I said, and I'm sorry, Terry, but here's what I said. I said, the drunk? And he said, yeah. and I said, what about him? And he said, he thinks he wants to be on the radio. And I said, well, a lot of people think they want to be on the radio. What does he do, Terry? And Ned says, I don't know. Talk to him. So I called you, and I said, Dick, it's Terry. I said, Ned says you want to be on the radio. What is it you think you do? And you went, I don't know. And I said, well, this is kind of a tough way to start. We have to come up with something. And so we came up with this Dick Daly investigative reporter.
Yes.
And I gotta tell you something. I got a pretty good read on who should be on the air and who shouldn't be on the air. And
and you finally realized I shouldn't after all these
years. But it took like 15 years to realize you have no business being on the air. But the first one of those that we did, and I remember what the first one was. I wish I could remember a lot more. But the first one we did, as soon as it was over, and the whole thing probably lasted 3 minutes, I knew you had it, whatever it is. And we did a series of these Dick Daly investigate. And I told the audience yesterday, do you remember the first one?
No.
What, well, it was the escort service. All I did, folks, and maybe you heard this yesterday, but all I did is I told Terry, I said, look, Terry, here's the premise. You're in Las Vegas. You're going to blow the lid. You got a story. It's going to blow the lid off this business, and you can't wait to share it with people. And the first words I said on the line from, I said, Dick Daly, where are you? And you said, I'm in Las Vegas. And I said, I understand you have a big story. And you said, Frank, it's time this company got exposed. And then you go into this thing about how you rented a car and it was a Ford Escort, and it broke down. And you said, I needed to get this car running. So I go to the Yellow Pages, and I find this escort service. I call. This chick shows up and doesn't know anything about cars. And I said, and you just keep talking. And I said, Dick, and you keep talking. You said, I took her out to the car. All she wanted to do was go to the room. I said, Dick. And finally you stopped. And I said, Dick, those are prostitutes. That's not the car escort. And there's this long silence. And then I don't know if you remember how we closed every one of them. You said,
I said, I'll get back to you. Frank.
Yes, you said, I'll get back to you. Click, and you hung up. Every one of them ended that way. They were hysterical.
And everybody knew it was coming, too. Well,
of course
everyone
they did, but it was
the same way, yeah.
It was still funny. Now, I'm going to see what you remember after I just share with you a couple other things that make me so glad that I ever met you, okay?
Sure.
One was when
you're
you went on
blush.
The air. Well, we can't see that. So you go on the air and you start referring,
really.
you start making reference to your wife, who you call Bug Face, okay? And you said it quickly, so I told Bug Face, and off the air I said, hey man, why do you call your wife Butt Face? I thought you were calling her Butt Face.
Yeah, that would be disrespectful.
Yes, it would. And you said, it's not Butt Face, it's Bug Face. And I went, oh, well, that's a whole lot better, Bug Face. And I'll tell you this, too. Here's what's interesting is that in one couple, the two people in this couple, Terry and Linda Daly, it's made up of the funniest man I've ever known and the funniest woman I've ever known. Your wife...
Wow.
Your wife at any moment could have taken your career away from you and jumped in and taken over and kicked you to the curb. She's that funny. She is.
I wish she had, then she would end up the alcoholic me.
Now, you used to do songs until you got lazy and you didn't want to do them anymore on Friday. And when you did, one of the songs you did, and again, for a guy who remembers very little, this has always stuck with me. You picked up the guitar, and you said, today, I'm going to sing what I believe is the shortest song ever written. Do you remember what it was?
Edmund Fitzgerald?
Nope. Nope. Here was the song. You strummed the guitar, and you said, what do you find in an elephant's trunk? An eight-pound booger. And that's the song. Oh, 8 foot booger. Oh, sorry, I messed it up. What do you find in an elephant's trunk? An 8 foot booger. Boom. And that's the song. And we applauded. And I thought, wow, that was a short song and very funny. Now I'm gonna ask you something else. And just be honest here. When you got fired from the other place where we used to be, you kind of disappeared. And I know that you probably didn't have a lot, but Bugface's mom was around, and I had met her, and she seemed very healthy to me. And not too long after you left, she passed away. And I'm assuming that you and Bugface got her house. Am I correct in assuming that?
Oh God, no. She's got two brothers, and Linda and her brothers split up some stuff. I guess that's getting a house, but
let me tell you where I'm headed here. I'm glad you cleared that up, because I said to some people, I said, you know, it's funny, Terry gets fired, and next thing I know, he's living in Ohio, and they got a house. I said, I think he killed his mother-in-law, because she, you know, she had some money, and he probably killed her. So now I've cleared this up. You didn't kill her, correct?
Well,
maybe you did.
You couldn't call it killed her. Those wouldn't be the words at all.
Helped her exit the world.
Helped her along later in life. No, she was a wonderful woman. I loved her to death, and she
was a neat. Wasn't her name Gretchen or something?
That's right. Yeah, Gretchen.
Yeah. See, there's certain things that's weird. I remember things I shouldn't remember, but I met her. She was in town, and I remember, what a wonderful woman. And I thought, this can't be Bugface's mother. She's not that funny, but she was nice. Now let me tell people another story.
Okay.
You drove this old motorhome, and this is the headliner story. The headliner started falling down on the motorhome. Folks, when he told me this story, I thought, this is both this is the stupidest guy and the funniest guy I have ever met. You went out and bought. Go ahead. You tell him. Go ahead. The headliner's coming loose. Tell him.
I don't want you to make anybody think that I did this to be funny. This is stupidity we're talking about.
No. I just said when you told this story, I did, and you write then, this is one of the stupidest guys and funniest guys ever. You did not do it to be funny. You didn't know any better. Go ahead, tell them.
I got some of the, I had some material, like headliner type material, and I had to attach it to make it look good, So I went to the hardware store, and I saw some of this caulk, that comes in the, it's about 10 or 12 inch long, tube.
Right.
And I used this caulk to put up the headliner, and it just took me forever, and it was so hard. As it turned out, I was watching TV one night shortly after this, and I saw one of those devices that you squeeze you squeeze the caulk guns. I squeezed it with my hand, and that stuff was almost impossible to get out of that tube. And when I saw that stuff on TV, I slapped myself in the forehead.
The only reason that I can't say that's really stupid is that you didn't know what a caulking gun was, and I had a buddy when I was like 40. He asked me one time, he said, "Do you have a miter box I can borrow?" And I said, "What's that? I don't know what that is." And he laughed at me. He said, "I don't know what a miter box is." Well, now I do. And now you know what a caulking. I got to tell you, Terry, many times I've tried to visualize somebody trying to squeeze caulk out of a caulking tube.
Well, try it sometime. it's really tough.
Hey, Terry, now, a couple of people have sent text in and stuff, and before we get out of here or something, they want you to do a Hey Lottie Lottie song.
No, I don't have anything. Thank you very much, whoever asked for that,
Can I say something to those people who are requesting things like that? Terry, stop being creative and funny like 12 years ago. Okay, so, or maybe more, maybe 15 years.
Way before I left the show.
Yeah, he stopped while he was on the show. He stopped being creative and funny. Now, what do you remember?
I'm kind of mad at you because nobody ever told me I wasn't supposed to do the show drunk. You never said when you hired me, you never said, come in and be on my radio show, but you can't be drunk. You never told me that.
I didn't because it was going so well and it was funny, and why screw up a funny thing? Now, let me ask you something else. Tell me what you remember about Judy Martin going to Hawaii on her honeymoon and what you and I did. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
We didn't go with them, did we?
No. That would have been fun. Judy tells everybody, and she lets everybody, I am going to Hawaii on my honeymoon. And she made the mistake of saying in front of you and me about coming back being tanner than everybody else. So immediately, as soon as she left for the airport, you and I, folks, this is absolutely true. Terry, we knew we had a week or 10 days. Terry and I went to the tanning salon twice a day. Every single day she was gone. And when she came back, we were tanner than she was, and it ruined the whole tan thing for her. Now, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And we looked good, man. We looked good. We had really good tan. Now, if you think of something, Terry, just jump right in here if you want to add something. Do you remember... And this is, a lot of people won't even believe we could pull this off. We had a contest. Now, we're both married. win a date with Frank and Terry.
What?
Do you remember those smoking hot blondes that we took out?
Ladies and gentlemen,
go ahead.
Well, we also, sure I do. We had it like a contest, whichever letters sounded the sexiest and stuff. We weren't kidding around. We weren't just thinking, you know, we'll take some young girls out. We want some dates.
Yeah, and here's what, folks, many women. And folks, here's what we did. We went on the air and said, look, send us a short letter telling us why we should date you and send a picture, and you need to be hot. You need to be good looking. Don't send us a picture if you're ugly or really fat or something, because you're not going to win. We just made it clear. And honest to goodness, we got letters and pictures of some of the cutest, most beautiful women. So we picked these two blondes, they're probably listening now, and got a limo. And here's what's so interesting. We go in a limo to pick them up, and not only were their husbands okay with it, they took pictures of us leaving with their wives. It was great. It was great. We took them out to dinner. We had big steak dinners. We took them to Argosy. Took them gambling. Gave them gambling, money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gave them gambling money.
Did you give your date any money? I didn't give my date any money. If you want to gamble, you gamble with your own money.
I think I gave her a couple hundred bucks and said, you know, knock yourself out. And then we had the wonderful dinner, big steak dinner. And then eventually we got them back home. The rest of the details will remain a secret, but it was so much fun. You know what was even more fun than the actual date was just the contest was fun. Just the fact that we got away with asking for only good-looking women to participate, that if you weren't really good-looking, you're excluded. You can't even enter. And holy cow.
For some reason, that's okay to do on the radio, because they knew we were trying to be, the listeners knew we were trying to be funny, but we had ulterior motives.
We were trying to be funny, but we also weren't kidding. We did not want ugly dates, okay? So maybe funny, but we were serious. Now, I want you to tell people, and I'm going to guess that you've never been madder at Bugface, your wife, ever than you were when this happened. We're at the airport. Every year we take a bunch of listeners and we go to the Caribbean, Mexico, Jamaica. We're all at the airport, but Terry and his wife Bugface are not able to board the plane with us. Go ahead and tell them why.
I believe, you know, you might have to help me here. I believe she left her driver's license. I believe she left her ID at home.
Bingo.
How do you do that when you're going on an international flight? How
Bingo.
Did that happen?
And then she couldn't find it. Do you remember that, Terry? She couldn't find it. And then you guys had to stay, and she had to get a new license, and she found it later under a towel on the counter.
Here's my question. How blonde can somebody be that they can't find their driver's license? So you guys had
to... She's a real blonde, too.
Yeah.
That's
Terry. Terry, you're telling me she's a real blonde. Like, I don't know.
Oh, my.
So, how do you think you got to go on those trips and not pay? So everybody...
So I show up a day late, a different flight, and by the time I got to Jamaica or wherever it was, I was drunker than a skunk.
Terry, you were 3 days late. You came 3 days later. And not only were you mad at her because you had to make the walk of shame out of the airport back home, never to return because she couldn't find her driver's license. So then 3 days, Julie, our travel agent, gets you on another charter 3 days later. Now, folks, Terry shows up in Jamaica 3 days late. He's not only mad because he's 3 days late. He, like he said in his own words, he was so drunk when he stepped off the bus, he could hardly walk.
We had posters all over the place, pictures of Terry. Have you seen me? Remember?
Have you seen me?
Yeah.
And it was your
pick,
like it was a missing persons thing. You did not think it was funny that night because you were mad and you were drunk. And Terry, I would love to tell people what you said We had waited and booked a late dinner so that you and Bugface could go to dinner with about a dozen of us. And you did something at that dinner table I cannot repeat, and it stunned every... It was so horribly inappropriate. Yet here's the interesting...
It wasn't something just normal like Dan would do. It wasn't like making a noise or anything.
No.
Terry. This is something that people should go to prison for, what you said, okay? It was beyond inappropriate. No, it was way beyond inappropriate, and the whole table just sat there stunned. And what's interesting about you is you have the incredible ability to make people beyond uncomfortable, to do things that are beyond inappropriate, and at the same time, after you walk away from it, you can't help but burst out laughing because it's so horrible. It's hilarious.
I feel horrible about it. I'm sorry.
No, you don't. Don't play that game. You don't feel horrible about it at all.
I have a story for Terry. When you had your bypass surgery, and Frank and I came up to see you at Missouri Baptist Hospital, and there was a big sign, because you were in the heart wing, a big sign that says, turn your cell phones off. So what happens? Frank's cell phone goes off and starts ringing, and the nurse came in and kind of yelled at him. And then we were in, and remember, you kept saying you couldn't laugh because of the stitches and everything, and it hurt.
Well, anybody who's had open heart surgery, it's very painful to laugh.
Yeah,
painful. And Terry was holding a little pillow on his chest, and even said, "Please don't make me laugh." Well, that's the worst. That's the worst thing. It's the worst thing you could have said. Dan, do you remember what I did?
Yes, took some dirt out of a plant that someone sent him. And
Terry gets up to go to the bathroom, and I see a potted plant with some moist dirt, so I put it on the sheets to make it look like he pooped. He pooped in the bed. And a nurse comes in, I go, "Hey, he had an accident." It looked just like a glob of like granular poop or something on the bed. And of course, Terry is laughing, and he's mad at me, because he doesn't want to laugh. So before we get in the room, there's a gift shop in the hospital, and hanging in the gift shop, they had, everybody knows what surgical scrubs are. Those they're usually blue or green, and it's the pants that tie at the waist and a scrub shirt. They sold in the gift shop little ones for little bitty toddlers. Now Terry is. Terry is a short man. He's never been thrilled that he's short. So I thought, oh my goodness, this is too good. I bought the little toddler scrubs and gave them to him in the room as a gift.
Oh my God.
You were doing your best to burst those stitches out. Yes. You were doing everything you could.
And I said, "Terry, if they're too big, don't worry. Bugface can shrink them in the wash." Of course, they were made to fit like a 3-year-old or something. Let me tell you something, man. You've given me some great stories.
Well, thank you.
And I thoroughly enjoyed not every minute, but... the most of the time that we spent together, I did. Oh my goodness, I like to laugh, and not everybody can make people laugh, but you did.
Well, the I think it was 17 years I worked with you were the best 17 years of my life. I swear to that, and I was honored and freaked out that somebody would pay me to sit across from you and listen to you talk. You're a master at radio, and you're a funniest guy I've ever known. So it goes both ways.
Well, I will always, in a way, you know, you don't know in your life exactly who to thank for what. but things just kind of happen and fall into place. It's just sort of, there's no rhyme or reason for it. And who would ever have known that, you know, Ned Spurk calling me saying, hey, write a jingle. Can you write a jingle for my bar? Would have led to all of this. But everything matters. Every little piece of the puzzle is what creates.
And we're two completely outside that radio station. We're two completely different kind of guys. I've come a little closer to you now that I quit drinking. But for a long time there, we were unbelievable. Water and oil or whatever it is.
But you know what? It worked. And you're right. And for people who don't know you and don't know me, I don't think you could have two more different people. I was brought up in a strict, strict Southern Protestant household. No cursing, not a drop of alcohol, blah, blah, blah. And then I meet you, and after the shock wore off, after I met you, I realized this guy has got something very special. He's just a very unique individual, and you are. And you said, when you talked about, you know, that somebody would pay you, by the way, that somebody was me. I paid you and was happy and was happy to do it. And you know, I you and Lee Sherwood are two people that made me seem better than I was. And Lee passed away not long ago, a couple of years ago. And I think the thing that you had in common was, and Lee also was completely different from me, which is really interesting to me, that I gelled more with, for some reason, with you and with him than I would have if I met somebody just like me. First of all, I don't think there's anybody just like me. I hope not, because that's a pretty boring person. But you were able to take a guy and work with a guy like me who didn't drink, who didn't curse, who...
Well, you almost killed me. You killed Lee Sherwood and Mike Anderson, Robert Fox. Is there anybody
hold on. Hold on. Robert's still alive. He's not dead yet. He's still alive.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
I don't know if he... He's going to be watching his back.
Yeah. I don't know if he knows he's alive, but he's alive.
I thought he had passed on.
I don't know what else to tell you except this. There are a lot of people who are either listening right now or they're going to listen on the podcast, because we have a whole lot of people, I can tell from the email, who listen to the podcast, and they'll listen to what we're doing here tomorrow or the next day or whatever. And you need to understand something. There are a lot of people who have never forgotten you and who really, really enjoyed the time we spent together. And I don't know sometimes if you say, well, I wish this would have happened or that would have happened. You know, who knows if it would have worked.
Yeah.
But I was, for a while, I was bummed out that it ended, because I thought, wow, what could we have gone on and done together? And I don't know the answer to that, and maybe nothing. But you need to know that when it ended, I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy about it. I wasn't happy with you when it happened. I wasn't happy that you were there, that you were you. And when it was over, I wasn't happy. So, you know, that's what you do. You confuse people.
Thank you.
So let me ask you one more. Go ahead. Whatever you want to say. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you if Randy Blount is still selling Lincolns, and if you think you could get him to let me drive one for like a month and talk about it. No, a week. I used to drive him for a week, didn't I?
Yeah. I think if you're asking for a month, talk knowing your condition, that's stretching it a little bit. Knowing, you know, you're stage four.
Oh, man.
maybe a week would be more appropriate.
Great.
Wow.
Wow. Laugh at my demise.
Wow.
Holy crap.
No, the answer is no, no, and no. He's not still selling Lincolns, and no, you can't have one because he's not selling them. He is in the rent-to-own car business, like rent-to-own furniture. You know, like you your credit's bad, and you can't, but so you rent. That's what he does. He has these rent-to-own car dealerships with a couple partners, I think, and he's fine, and he'll be thrilled that you asked about him. Is there anybody else you want to ask about, or anything else you want to ask or say?
No. I know everything I need to know. I know everything I need to know from this conversation.
Now this is a question nobody else would ask somebody in this situation. Stage 4, colon cancer. Yes. You have opted, as I would, not to start going through some radical, horrible treatments or something. They don't, and this kind of bugs me about doctors today. They don't give you a timeline, do they?
No, I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm not sure if he would say you've got 6 months to live. I don't know how I would act with that. You know, to just he's just saying we'll see kind of thing, and I guess that's easiest for him too. But I don't know. I've got a few more tests. Like tomorrow, I've got what they call a PET scan. It's where they shoot some stuff into your veins, and they can follow it, go through your body, and find out if there's more cancer in places that they didn't see before. And that's going to be a big telltale thing. But I'm not even sure what he's going to do. I don't know. A lot of people, you know, I've heard people talk who have cancer and say, oh, my blood count went this and blah, 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 blah. I have no idea what they're talking about. Just the doctor said, you have cancer. I said, okay, when? So, I don't know.
Well, you've got a great point, because I don't know the answer to the question, would you rather know exactly 6 months, 6 weeks, or would you rather not know? That's a great question, and I don't know that I even can answer that, because I think there's something to be said for what you just said. Maybe not know.
I'll tell you what also is, I remember when I was a young man or a kid or whatever, and I'd say, how can old people realize that they're going to face death pretty soon just by the fact that they're old? And now, as I'm older, I'm not that old, I'm 72, but now I see it coming, and I think, well, big deal. I have done everything that I ever wanted to do. My body is shot, you know, just as far as having a nice body women would look at, or, you know,
Terry, can I interrupt you? When you worked with me 20 years ago, you didn't have a body women wanted to look at.
Well, okay, way back.
Okay, before I knew you.
There's really, after doing everything that I pretty much wanted to do, you know, for women, as you know, women look right through you. They have no idea that you open the door for them or anything.
Tell me.
You're just an old man. You know, you're no threat to anything, you know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, isn't that exciting. If I die tomorrow, I'm not really going to miss anything. I'll miss my family, and that's about it.
Okay, here's one of the things. Here's one of the things you and I have in common. When you just said that you used to think about somebody being really old, 85, 90, and knowing that any time they're going to die, I think about that all the time. And then now, the other thing you said that I agree with 100%, it's not fun getting old, because right or wrong, and I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, it doesn't mean that you want to go have an affair with every young woman you see, but the fact that you know
what? That
hot young okay, I do. Okay, I do want to. The fact that you know that when a 28, 35 even year old good looking woman looks at you, they just see an old guy.
Or 50-year-old woman. Or
okay, in Dan's case, 50.
60-year-old woman or something.
No, it really, it's, and look, I know that for women, it's probably even harder. It's worse, because we've made women think that, oh, it's all about how you look. And so it's even harder for them. But you know what? Like you said something to me a couple of days ago on the phone, and you're absolutely right. You said, you know what? This is going to happen to everybody in one form or another. Sooner or later, we're all going to face this. So I'm going to, unless you have something else, I'm going to close with this. I love you. And that's a man to another man.
Well, I love you.
And
like
I'm not
that.
Ashamed to say that.
Yeah. You're ashamed to say it?
No. Yeah, I am. Yes, that's what I said. I'm ashamed to say it. You heard me right. That's what I said.
And they were thought at one point in time that Terry and I were brothers because my mom worked with Terry's dad a long time ago back at, was it KWK Radio and TV?
KWK Radio, yeah.
I believe we came to the conclusion that your mom slept with Terry's dad.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a daily. Come on, right. Man.
Oh, yeah.
And knowing your mom.
Yeah. That's right.
As so many of us do. Listen, you give Bugface a giant hug, and you tell her she's the funniest woman I've ever known.
Okay, I will. And we ought to do this again if I last. We ought to get together again.
No. I don't think we will. I'm getting feedback now from listeners, and they don't like it, and it's not that entertaining. So it's just like the old days. So maybe we will. You know what? Maybe we will. Listen, man, you got a great attitude about this, and I know you said you'd like to come back to St. Louis one more time, and you know that if you do, you have to call me, or I will. Then I'll hate you as much as I have many times over the past few years. I'll be really mad at you if you don't do that. Okay.
Yeah, okay, and Trevor, I was kidding, of course, about all you Englishmen being gay.
Not a problem.
No, he wasn't.
Not a problem.
Limey, no, Limey, no, he wasn't. Limey, no, he wasn't. He's trying to say nice things because he knows he's dying. He wasn't kidding, okay?
I would like to say, though, before you go, that I really liked your story about your mother-in-law.
Oh, you.
That's an inside joke. We have a little contest, and he used your situation to take advantage. With shame on you, Limey. Dangling dick.
I can't believe
dangling dick.
You ought to fire him right now. if you had any cojones at all, you'd fire that Limey and send him back across the pond.
And bring you in from Cleveland.
Bring me in. I'll run the board.
No, you won't, and I'll tell you why. We Dan and I almost begged you for years, learn to run the board. Oh. No, you didn't do it. You didn't want to do it.
What good would it have done?
Right now it would come in handy if I fire Limey. See, you'd already know how to run the board.
I tried it one time, and it was a disaster.
I'd love to see that.
I know all you got to do is call Abuse Boy.
That's right.
I've had him on hold many times. Listen, Dangling Dick. I hope, I hope by some miracle, the doctors are wrong. And it'll be one of those things that be on the news and they go, nobody knows what happens, but somehow he's just cancer free, blah, 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 blah. When that happens, then we bring you in in the studio. If it happens, I hope it does.
That happens a lot. That gives me a little bit of hope because that happens a lot. I hear a lot of people. In fact, it's embarrassing. I'm going to have to be like Clouseau. If I don't die from this stuff, I'm going to have to hide from everybody.
Yeah.
Never talk to anybody again because on Facebook, I have a bunch of people, sending me prayers and stuff. And I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
You're going to have to move to Kansas City with Elvis.
No, here's what you do. Here's what you do. You say, hey, everybody, your prayers were answered. That's how you handle it. You go, it's a miracle. Your prayers were answered.
Hey,
I got to go. This has been the quickest hour, and I knew it would be, and maybe we'll have to have a part two one day. Okay?
Okay. Great talking to you guys. Thank you.
All right, Dangling Dick. You too.
Goodbye, St. Louis. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Brother. What a funny guy. I mean, and people don't even begin to have an idea how funny and how, I'll tell you what, if I can find a way to do it sometime, I'll tell you what he did. it's going to be, I have to figure out how to do it at that dinner table.
You could write it on Facebook.
No, not even on Facebook. You can't put those words on Facebook. No, you can't. I'm going to make up for the commercial I didn't do. So when we come out, Limey, just give me some bumper music coming out, and I'll make it up. And then we'll bring Dan Buff in here. He's in the green room, and I don't think he's ready to come out anyway. He's having some new treatment in there. We'll have to find out what that's all about. So stick around, folks. And anybody who just joined us and missed it, podcast, 590 The Fan is the app, and you can go and you can listen to the very funny Terry Daly if you didn't catch all of it this past hour. So stay where you are. Dan Buff is coming up. And then after that, of course, you know what happens, 5 o'clock in the Playhouse. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
Hello again, everybody. It's Bob Ramsey, and you're listening to KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and KFNS.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. The House is nearing a final vote on President Trump's declaration of a national emergency at the southern border. The Democratic resolution would block Trump's executive order. Georgia Democrat Hank Johnson.
An emergency declaration is not a last-ditch maneuver to employ when all negotiation attempts have failed.
The measure likely will pass today and has a chance to clear the